Mario Vargas Llosa is one of the godfathers of Latin American fiction. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2010. He also once ran for president of his native country, Peru. Politics and literature are the driving forces of his life, and they often come together. For instance, one of his most recent novels is The Feast of the Goat, the story of Rafael Trujillo, the infamous dictator of the Dominican Republic. Vargas Llosa tells Steve Paulson why he found the subject so compelling and what became of his own political ambitions.
You know that when I was young, all over Latin America there were military dictatorships, but probably the most emblematic dictatorship of the times was Trujillo's, was that of the Dominican Republic, because besides the brutality, the cruelty which is common to authoritarian regimes, in Trujillo there was also this theatricality, these extravagances because of his personality, and that gave me the idea of the novel.
Can you give me some sense of the theatricality, how he ruled, and how he managed to rule not just by threatening to torture his opponents, but how he commanded some kind of loyalty on a psychological level as well?
Oh, yes, without any doubt. Well, this is probably the saddest aspect of many dictators, you know, that they are, at least for a while, quite popular. And I think he was popular probably until the last 2 or 3 years of his government.
Now, one of the mysteries of a dictator like Trujillo is how he managed to stay in power for so long, where his popularity came from. And in your novel, you make it clear that loyalty was valued above all other qualities. In fact, some of his soldiers were given tests to prove their loyalty. They might be asked to give up the woman they want to marry, or in some cases, to kill a political opponent, just sheerly to show that they are loyal to Trujillo.
That's right. That gives an idea of the extremes of corruption that the regime produced. I think at the beginning, it was possible to resist Trujillo. But then, when the regime is very well established, has all the power to persuade or terrify, resistance become more and more weak. And this accumulation of power, you know, I think transformed the dictator in a kind of monster. I wanted very much in my novel, you know, to describe this process in which a whole society, in a way, in spite of being a victim, it's also an accomplice.
So you're saying that professionals, whether they're doctors or lawyers, intellectuals, also wanted to show their loyalty to Trujillo, and that was the way to become successful in that country.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know that Trujillo praised himself, saying that he had called the best minds of the Dominican Republic to work with him, you know. And in a way, this was true, you know, because if you were called, it was practically impossible to say no, to take a distance because of the brutality of the regime. So many talented people, professionals, intellectuals, were appointed members of the government and they couldn't say no, you know, because their freedom and even their lives were at risk if they didn't collaborate, you know.
Now, we've been talking about the source of Trujillo's mystique, and part of it was his machismo, and he bragged about his sexual prowess right up until the time he was killed, and he would talk openly about all the affairs he was having with the wives of some of his closest aides.
Well, this is a very, you know, sinister aspect, I think, of Trujillo's personality. Of course, he was very sexual, you know, his country, Latin America, a very machista region. And so women were, let's say, privileged victims of the regime because you had dictatorship and machismo fuse, you know. But in his case, I think there was this other aspect which is really very, very dark, very twisted. He used sex as an instrument to humiliate people and also to make his collaborators passed a test, you know. He went to bed with women, wives of his ministers, and one got the impression that he did this because it was a way to prove, you know, the loyalty, the spirit of sacrifice of his collaborators. That it was, in a machista country, of course, it was the maximum sacrifice to accept, you know, this kind of humiliation. And he did it, well, in a way, systematically, you know.
Can you tell me about the assassination of Trujillo in 1961? How did it happen?
Well, it was a group, you know, of people. Some of them had been part of the regime. Some had been humiliated and offended by Trujillo and became very angry. But some of them not. And some of them were people who were horrified with what was happening in the country. One of them, for example, was a very committed Catholic, you know, and he was pushed to participate in this conspiracy for, let's say, moral and religious reasons. And they decided to kill him because they were convinced that the only way in which the Dominican Republic could move towards a democratic system was killing Trujillo. That as far as Trujillo was there, there was no way for a peaceful evolution, you know, toward democracy.
Well, as you were investigating this history, were you sympathetic to the assassins? Did that seem like the only way to save the country, to kill the dictator?
Well, you know, I am, of course, against assassination as a political instrument. But I think there are some very, you know, special cases in history in which, you know, what is called by St. Augustine, you know, tyrannicide is justifiable. If Hitler would have been killed during this conspiracy, probably millions of deaths would have been avoided. And I suppose in the case of the Dominican Republic, it was like that, you know. If Trujillo remained in power, the killings, the tortures, the disappearances, and all this violence against the Trujillo society would have continued. So in this sense, probably they were right, you know.
I have to ask you about your own political experiences, because, of course, you have immersed yourself in it. You ran for president in Peru in 1990. You lost to Fujimori, the man who later proved to be a demagogue who abolished much of the democratic government of Peru. Did that experience have anything to do with this decision to write this novel about Trujillo?
No, I don't. Well, not consciously, at least, you know. I participated, you know, in politics, I think for the wrong reasons, you know, not for political reasons, but, well, I would say for moral reasons, civic reasons. I suppose I was wrong to doing this because be a successful politician, I think you need to got the appetite and also the aptitude, you know, and it was not my case, you know. But I don't regret it because even if I failed and it was, well, in a very hard experience, it was very instructive. I learned, you know, a lot about politics and about myself and about my country. And of course, I suppose I have used all this writing this novel in which politics is, well, so important.
Do you see any inherent conflict between working in politics, being a politician, and writing literature?
Very much. I think probably these two activities are incompatible one with the other. Huh? I think both require, you know, total commitment. That's one thing that I learned during those years in which I was a candidate. If you want to be a writer, you cannot be, you know, a professional politician.
Why is that? Is it because writers have to be free to say whatever they want, to voice any criticisms, whereas politicians have to be so careful about what they say?
And I think you have to got some perspective, you know, this perspective that gives you independence, you know, to be free thinker and a free writer and to abandon yourself to your fantasies. And if you are a politician with a responsibility, you cannot do that even if you try. You know, that's why many intellectuals and some, well, very respectable intellectuals, let's say Vaclav Havel, for example, I think is a very interesting case. He was a very good writer, a very good playwright. But when he became president of his country, I think the writer disappeared completely, you know. I think it was a great sacrifice, probably very useful for Czechia, you know. He has contributed very much to the democratization of the country, but it was the sacrifice of his literary vocation.
Mario Vargas Llosa won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2010. His novel about Rafael Trujillo, the infamous dictator of the Dominican Republic, is called The Feast of the Goat. Steve Paulson spoke with him.